The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. As I begin, I want to slightly edit our bulletin. Our hymn of the day is going to be number 666, "What Wondrous Love Is This?" I just forgot to change it for this week. So I'll announce that before we sing it, but number 666 will be our hymn. Jesus says, "The wind blows. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's headed. It goes where it chooses. So it is with the Spirit. You know it when you see it." This week, one of my very, very close friends, Ben, has been in town, and I took a couple days off this week to go surfing on Thursday and Friday, because that's what you do when you have people in town in San Diego. And I'm a terrible surfer. I only started surfing just, you know, when I first got here. I got a board, and I've got a wetsuit, and I haven't put them on until about this week, since October or so. And we spent 3 days in a row, which was enough to really wear me out. But what I learned in those 3 days is that I am an incredibly anxious surfer. Not only am I bad, I'm very anxious. Like, I watch these San Diegans, these people who are locals who must go surfing every day, and they just sort of glide through the water, right? They're on their board, and it's like a wave comes up, and they just glide through the wave. And when a wave comes up against me, it slams into me and throws me overboard. And if I don't get thrown overboard, I cling to the board as tightly as I can, and then I fall in the water. It's like a matter of overcorrecting or growing anxious as things like that happen. That's what I learned. I got a little better as time went on, but I learned that I am a overcorrecting kind of anxious surfer. And I wish I could say that that's only true of my surfing life, but I find it finds its ways into other places as well. when Becky and I were co-pastors at Holden Village, part of our work at the retreat center there, it's a place high up in the wilderness that is a place where people in the summertime gather and teachers gather and pastors come together for weekly sessions and things like that, educational forums. And part of our work was to take groups of leaders and theologians and pastors who were coming up to the village for a week and incorporate them into daily worship. So at Holden Village, you not only worship on Sunday, but the whole community gathers around every single night, about half an hour. We worship together, and we have different services every single night. So if you can imagine, every night, 400 people, 500 people gathering together in a gymnasium. And our work was to make sure that the teachers had roles to play in those worship services that we planned. Well, one week, later in the summer, it was going to be this all-star cast of, like, as famous as you can get Lutheran famous kind of people, right? So the bishop was there. Bishop Elizabeth Eaton was there. Nadia Boltzweber was there. She's this rock star Lutheran pastor, very, very incredible theologian. And this whole slate of people were there. And we were plugging people into worship. Okay, the bishop is going to preach. Okay, Nadia is going to do this. This person's going to do this. And I come to a name on the list, and it's Padraig O'Tooma. And I think, I don't know this guy, Padraig, but I look up his bio, and I think, oh, he's a poet. Maybe he would want to participate in our service for children. So at the heart of our Tuesday night service was a children's story, kind of like what I just told to the kids, a story, not necessarily a sermon or a lecture, but tell them a story, because the whole service is around worshiping with kids, singing songs that kids love to sing, playing in the water, doing this stuff. So Becky and I kind of allocate our work for that week. She talks to the bishop. She talks to Nadia. I email Padraig O'Tooma. I say, this is what we're doing. This is what I'm after. Would you be willing to help? He gets right back to me, and he says, yes, yes, I'm honored. I would love to. And that day, I kind of trot to our weekly leadership meeting, and I'm going over the schedule for that week of all-star folks. And I say, okay, Bishop's doing this, Nadia's doing this, and Padraig is leading the children's story. And around the circle in the leadership meeting, jaws just drop. And I hear, you asked Padraig O'Tooma to tell a children's story? Padraig O'Tooma, who is a poet and a theologian and a serious person. And there was some real anger coming at me. And all of a sudden, internally, it's kind of like me on that surfboard, right? The wind and the waves pick up, and I'm clinging to that thing, and they're just slamming into me, and I'm falling down. And I leave that meeting, I'm kind of shaken up, and I wonder, well, do I need to go call Padraig and ask him not to do that, to do something else? Finally, I said, no, I'm just going to do this. And 2 weeks go by, Padraig gets off the bus, and I'm shaking as I go up to him. And I didn't know he's this big, worldwide, famous guy. And I say, oh, Padraig, I asked you to do this thing. It was really dumb. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to ask you that. I'll find a different, we'll just design a worship service around you because you're so famous. And he says, no, 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 no. That's a great thing. I'm really happy to do it. And suddenly, I'm back to relaxation. The anxiety floods out the bottom. And then Padraig says, but I'm not telling a story. And suddenly the anxiety returns. It goes through the roof. And I said, you're not telling a story. He says, no, I want to lead the children in meditation. And I think, Padraig, that's a really dumb idea. Because you got 450 adults and you got 50 kids in the middle of worship. No kid is going to sit still for a 20-minute or a 15-minute meditation. And he says, well, that's what I'm doing. And my anxiety shoots through the roof again. So Tuesday comes around, and I set up worship, and we set up cushions in the middle and a candle and a bell, just like Padraig asked. And I am just all nerves, just up and down my body, like those waves are slamming into me, and I'm falling off the board again. and we play in the font with the kids, we sing our songs, and it comes time for Padraig, and he invites the kids forward. They come forward, 50 kids sit down, and it's ages 3 to 10. And I'm thinking on the sidelines, this is never going to work, and I am going to be made a fool, and I'm so embarrassed by this that I've done. And Padraig breathes deeply with the kids. He invites them to close their eyes, and he leads them through this Ignatian practice, this ancient Ignatian practice of a journey with Jesus. And he walks with them for about 15 minutes. And the most disruptive thing that happened was an 8-year-old stood up and started looking for her mom, and a 3-year-old right behind her opened her eyes, tugged on her dress, motioned down, and then they sat down and closed their eyes again. The Spirit goes. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it goes. But you know it when you see it. And there it was. And then Padraig invited these kids to open their mouths after they opened their eyes and share with the group who Jesus was and any experiences that they had. And the things that came out of their mouths were incredible. We don't know where the Spirit comes from or where it goes, but you know it when you see it. One theologian, his name is James Allison, says, faith, well, we know faith because of people like Abraham, right? When God says, Abraham, go, Abraham goes. That's faith. That's trust. But James Allison says, you know, if there's an emotional state of faith, if there's a correlation to some kind of emotion that faith is, he says, it's relaxation. That when those waves and when that wind hits, that faith is the movement not to cling onto the board and to shake and to try to slam yourself into every wave, but to just simply relax, to let the Spirit of God enter, to let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit does best. I got to see that this week. You know it when you see it. I got to see that this week as we surrounded Grace in her bed at Zion, Kaiser Zion Health Center down on Zion Street. We were there in the hospital room, and if you've ever been around a person as they're taking their final breaths, if you've ever been in that situation, you just know what an anxious time it can be. I've been in that situation a lot, and I still get very anxious. It's like me on that surfboard over and over again. And as we sat in that room together, we took communion. We made the sign of the cross on her forehead and eyes and ears and lips and shoulders, heart, hands, and feet. We anointed her with oil, and we're standing around holding hands. And I'm thinking, I don't know what to do next. And somebody says, hey, maybe we should sing a song. And my mind just goes blank. It's like I've never sung a song in my life. And then somebody beside me, a member of Shepherd of the Valley, says, well, you know, when I was a little kid, I learned all the words to Jesus Loves Me. Can we sing Jesus Loves Me? We said, yeah, that's perfect. So we surrounded Grace. We held hands. We held on to her. And we sang, Jesus Loves Me. You don't know where the Spirit's going. You don't know where it comes from. But you know it when you see it. And there it was. In our gospel, Jesus says, God loved the world so much. God loved this world so much that God gave God's only begotten Son that we might not die but have eternal life. And then the next verse, I think it gets it even better. God did not come, Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to give it life, to give us life. Jesus didn't come to condemn us in our anxiety as the waves are crashing. Jesus came that we might nestle ourselves into the love and warmth of God, that we might just relax into that same spirit that gives us life. Thanks be to God. Amen.